There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby!
That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan.
My brother from another mother.
On FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the deal we got? I mean, the deal we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
Here we go, FM Talk 106.5 Midday Mobile. Glad to have you along. Friday edition of the show. Easy to get in touch as well. 251-343-0106. 251-343-0106 gets you through on a call or a text. And reminder, too, you can use the FM Talk 106.5 app to leave us a talkback message. You see the microphone icon right there on the front page. All you got to do is press that, record the message, email it to the show, and I can play it back here on the air. As we get started, too, of note here, of course, I heard a lot of discussion this morning on Mobile Mornings about it. The Bankhead Tunnel is open again, so Bankhead is open. Travel, you can go through there. What did they had a leak yesterday, and then what was the story? They had a leak, and then they said it was causing like a sinkhole. Now, places to not have a sinkhole, like I've had them in my front yard before and all that, but places to not have a sinkhole would be anywhere, I would say, around a tunnel would not be good. So hopefully they got that patched. Everything's good, but Bankhead is back open for your Friday traffic fun out there. All right, so lay that out. Also, reminder, too, we'll be ending and starting a new week in America's 250 Showcase. That means Facebook.com/FMTalk1065, where you post your patriotic photos. You can do that right there. You'll see the, what is it called, pinned up top. You go there and... read through like the description of what we do and how you win and all the great prizes, but get your pictures up. We'll get another winner coming up, and y'all are all getting in the running for the grand prize, $4,600 worth of goodies in the America's 250 Summer Showcase with FM Talk 106.5. More details on the way on that, but I want you to do that. And also, while we're talking about the Facebook page, what a great thing. You know, our Facebook page, award-winning Facebook page run by Leanna Miller, she put up a post yesterday about, I thought this was interesting, and see all the names. If you could get us to run a commercial for somebody who's not running commercials right now, you know, somebody you want to donate, we'll donate a commercial to them. Who would it be? And that list is really good, so you can add to it over there at facebook.com/FMTalk1065, the award-winning, nappy-winning Facebook page. All right, here's a subject nobody's talking about, so I brought my buddy... That's a joke. My buddy John Hill from Ascension Technologies in to talk about it. He called in the other day. We talked about it a little bit, but I wanted to have a more robust discussion. Nobody's talking about this, John, but we'll bring it up. Data centers.
I've never heard of them.
No contention out there.
I have a dumb question.
Okay.
About the tunnel. Can I ask?
Yeah, sure.
If you're a diver, and I'm not.
I am.
Can you hear the traffic in the tunnel if you're in the middle of the river?
I don't know. I've never.
Sorry.
Out of all the places I've, you know, done dives around here, none of them have been in the Mobile River. I don't know if I'd want to see some of the things.
I doubt it.
Down there by the tunnel.
It's pretty messy. I don't know. Last time
the sound carries through water, you know.
And I know that's way off topic than a data center, but I've often wondered that.
Anybody out there who has done a dive somewhere in the Mobile River, I tell you, you hear when the push boats come past you and all that, that'd be disconcerting. But yes, out of the dives I've done over the years here, none in the Mobile River.
But it's pretty murky.
Yeah. Yeah. And full of, I don't know if you've noticed, harbor traffic.
Yeah, there's a lot.
Can That's you imagine true. This? Because, you know, we'll go next month. We go down scalloping down towards Port St. Joe down there. And you got to carry, even though you don't really have to because there's a gazillion boats down there, but you have to carry, you know, your dive flag. Can you imagine the comedy of seeing a floating ball dive flag in the Mobile River?
Yeah. I doubt anybody pay attention to it, too, because last time I was down there, there was like we went on the Perdido Queen thing, and there was like trash. I mean, there's
you could get confused whether it's a dive flag or something that's washed down the river, which that brings back memories. That's a whole other show. I used to work on that boat.
Really?
Yeah, I was deckhanded on that boat when it used to be when it used to leave out of Battleship Memorial Park. Now this is 1980s, late 1980s.
That's
I was deckhand on that boat, and I remember one summer it was, you know, I mean, it's summertime, so it's like this. I think we're getting to, what did Dr. Bill say, next week, 97, 98 degrees. It's like that. The captain was having problems with the engine. So while we're running, I forget what we had to do to keep the engine running, but he put two of us down in the engine room.
Oh, my gosh.
So it's already on the deck. It's 90-something degrees.
And that's like, if I remember, I mean, I've seen them like in the dining room. Is that in the middle of the dining room?
Yes, exactly. Ah, that's where we went down.
Nice.
And so, and they closed the door because you can't disturb the, you know, the customers are on there. And we'd be down there doing something, monitoring or keeping the engine running.
Like with a wrench, like hitting
banging on a solenoid or something like that. So we're stuck down there and for the whole thing because he didn't, until they got the people off, we weren't allowed to come back out and show that there were two monkeys that we were down there. And it was so hot in the engine room that we would come out onto the deck in the 90-degree heat and feel refreshed.
Oh, my gosh. I hadn't
thought about that in a long time. All right. So, no, it's good. It's a good aside. I hadn't thought about that in a long time. Those are memories from days gone past. The data center thing, you know, making news, too, on the political side. They've come out, you know, Tuberville is pro data center. Doug Jones says wants a pause and put some guardrails up. And I don't know if I mind the idea of, I don't know what the Doug Jones guardrails are, but my thought process is the one worry I have, and maybe somebody can point something out. It is not the sterile cows, it's not the, the radiation, all this stuff. And by the way, John brought a radiation detector into the studio today.
And I brought an EMF detector too, because, you know, obviously there's different types of radiation, ionizing, non-ionizing, RF.
He's a smart guy here.
Well,
he goes.
Not really. I mean, you know, I know a little bit, but like, you know, you're familiar with one of these, probably at the transmitter. But even at your transmitter site, I brought this out there before, and hopefully FCC's not lit. No, I'm kidding. But right next to your transmitter, I get like 2 Gauss, which is
the measurement.
Nothing. Yeah, I mean, which is hardly anything. So, I can put this right on my iPad, laptop, and you can see nothing, not even 1 Gauss.
0.19, 0.17.
So the FCC...
We'll have to get some video of this here before the show's over.
Yeah, so the FCC, all those little stickers all over all these electronic devices, you know, it says it cannot, you know, it has to go through their gauntlet of manufacturing to test to see if it does leak RF, radio frequency.
Right.
Which is what that means. Electromagnetic fields is what like power line puts out or what a transformer puts out.
The audience will know because it's the subject of disaster movies. You know, EMP, this pulse of EM.
And electromagnetic pulse is a very massive spike in electromagnetic radiation that would fry electronic devices and so on that aren't protected. But here's I guess, the point of all this is the FCC controls a server. In a data center, you have a bunch of servers, which are computers. It's the same thing you have in your lap when you're sitting in your chair.
Yeah, so servers gets it. Yeah, people hear that name as different.
It's
a computer.
It's a computer that's just on steroids. So it has more RAM, which is random access memory, which is how the OS, whatever it's running, which a lot of them aren't running.
It's an operating system,
Yes, sir. Yeah, there you go. But it's not running a typical Windows operating system. I mean, there is Windows Server, but when you have a blade-dense data center like that, it's usually running something proprietary that all those computers in that row or rack, there's thousands of ways to configure it, are computing the same thing. So it's called shared compute power. So instead of one or two servers, or instead of one server computing something in its own little metal box, for lack of a better word, the entire rack computes the
thing. It's one thing.
Exactly, yeah. So it's one entity. So, so that's how you get scalable compute power, in an environment. So you put a lot of these together and a lot of disks. So you got obviously storage that's involved because, I mean,
that's the point of the you're storing the data.
Terabytes upon terabytes of data out there stored. So there's shared storage that's going on too. So the processor's what's processing like the commands and such, and then you have the disks. So all that is happening in a very small area, And so when you get 52 of those type servers, and servers are, you have a rack back there and you see a row, right? So there's that's called a one U rack server is like a server that takes up about 2 inches, 3 inches. I don't know what the dimensions are, but it's one rack unit. So a lot of the servers you see are one unit of rack. And so there's usually like 52, 58 units in a rack. And, you know, when you get that many servers, you're going to generate some heat. And, you know, the ambient temperature, I mean, if the building's halfway decently insulated, that could help. But it doesn't really matter what outside temperature it is because you have a huge amount of heat being generated behind the rack. So it could be 50 degrees outside and that rack's going to get hot because you got a metal case and all those components in there are causing all that heat. And then they're sucking in usually cold air from the front and blowing out hot air in the back. So that's why you see rack servers never facing each other. You see them in it's called hot aisle containment. So you want all your hot air to be blown in one area. So that's why you see racks facing this way and racks facing this way, and then they're blowing the hot air in the back of them and not into another server row.
Right. It's like your air conditioner pickup. You don't want to be picking up.
Exactly.
Like the rig I got on my boat here, you want to pick up cold air, not hot air from outside.
Yes, sir. Yeah. Exactly. It's the same principle because then you just be, blowing hot air in the back of one of the servers and everything. But, you know, I don't think ambient temperature, again, like if the building wasn't insulated and, you had like a warehouse situation, which is what a data center really is a massive warehouse. Because you want as much floor space as possible and, to put these racks out. So unless that building was not insulated at all, then it could be, it could heat up the ambient temperature in the building. But otherwise there's not a lot you can do other than just cool the rows.
And I want to get to, we're going to the break and come back. I want to get to that. But the other part of this, and we'll break that all down, but one thing, they're using a lot of electricity. That's the only thing in the, I feel like there's undue panic about data centers, but if they do raise our power rates.
Yeah, that's true.
Another part of this. John Hill, Ascension Technologies, our guest. Get your questions in as well. 251-343-0106.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right, 1222, FM Talk 106.5, Midday Mobile. Glad to have you along. Good to have John Hill in studio, too. And, I mean, his experience with this is not just with, work he does with servers and all that with Ascension Technologies. You were on the build-out in Montgomery.
Correct. Systems of Alabama.
You were on the, so he's not theorizing. You built one of these.
Yep. Took 3 years of my life out of me, but yeah, it was a lot. And I mean, yeah. Absolutely.
By the way, serious question here right off the bat. Can you ask John how the data centers are turning the livestock and frogs gay? Is it the RF, EMF, water discharge, or a combination of all of
it? I think it's the EMF.
That's what turns them.
Right. Yeah. And they also make them this nice blue glow. No, I'm just kidding. No, I don't know where that's coming. I mean,
That's the problem. When you get stuff like that, it's easy to just lampoon that. And so I want to kind of pull it back into the, questions people have that I, and number one, you're talking about the amount of EMF and radiation you have these devices. These servers still have to comply with the same things that computers have to comply with, right?
Even more.
Even more.
Yep.
Okay. So they are, they have to pass muster of the limitation of that. All right. So we got that issue. That doesn't seem to be an issue.
Right. And that's EMF. And then you have radiation.
Yes.
Which, a typical server has no radioactive parts that I'm aware of in it. Now, is there some tiny piece of
strontium 90 or something?
Yeah, who knows? But I mean, it's not like a smoke detector, for instance.
Right.
I mean, you can pull a smoke detector off and pull that rad sensor up to it, and it's going to go off. Mm-hmm. It's going to be higher. And sometimes you have to break the parts in it to get that, which don't do that. But there's no radioactive components in a server.
Okay.
So I've always looked at it like this. I used to live near high tension lines. which were...
You're not too far from it at your house now.
Right. It's not, yeah.
I'm pretty close to it the other side.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, these were... And you could take this, and is when you get close enough to this thing goes to like 20 or 30. So and it was not that close, but it was close enough where I could see. And these were those pylon ones that are the three tension, the mm-hmm. really high tension one, or mm-hmm. the really high voltage ones. And I could sit in the front of my house and walk back to the house or back through the house, and it would just get up to like 30 or 45.
Wow.
Yeah, it was insane. And I always wondered, you know, what, you know, that's 24 hours a day.
Yeah.
It just didn't hit me when we bought the house, you know, back in the day. But I was like, wow, that, you know, so that's EMF, right? And then cell towers and such, mm-hmm. you know, give off electromagnetic field. I think they control the antennas so they're not bouncing at the ground, because that doesn't make much sense to mm-hmm. throw it to the ground. But to me, if you're going to pick to live around something, a data center, when you walk around a data center, you're going to see that.
Yeah, and these data centers we're talking about too, specifically the one in Calvert that they're proposing there, I know where that property is. Mm-hmm. It's not a dense neighborhood. It's not an issue, let alone there's nobody around it. So the other questions then go to the heating thing they talked about. I think that's silly. That is going to heat the environment up 20 degrees.
No more than a building would.
Yeah, I mean, it's not. The other one, just watching some people that have been posting on social media that live near data centers, has been a noise issue. And I don't know if that individual one, this one's up in North Alabama somewhere. I don't know what I'm hearing, if it's, you know, the heat pump units or it's some kind of generator system. I don't know.
All the data centers that I've been in, they want to put, you know, it's white noise inside.
Yeah.
I've never heard a data center before I walked into it, because the chillers are usually either on the roof or outside.
Okay, you know, this is a good experience, because most people have not walked up to it. So you walk up to them, you're not hearing stuff.
Yeah, you hear fans. It's like white noise, you know.
Outside or inside?
Inside.
But you don't hear them outside.
I don't see. Yeah, I've never been in a data center.
Okay, so noise pollution is not a thing.
No, I don't know. Other than the only noise you'd hear outside is a chiller running. And that's a normal, you know, that's like your air conditioner at your house.
But,
you know, or a normal building like this.
Like this
building
one,
has a chiller.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And that's the only thing that you'd hear is the air conditioning unit outside.
Okay.
When you get inside, I mean, if you go to a rack row, you're going to hear just a lot of fans running.
Well, inside, Well, I mean, you walk in anywhere, it's got a bunch of computers running.
Yeah, that's all you hear is a bunch of fans. I mean, just like at your transmitter, you know, the fans on your just sounds a lot like that. Just louder, because you got many of them in there. But, yeah, that...
Yeah, people don't realize what it takes to cool just the transmitter, the 50,000-watt transmitter for the station. I think we'll get a 5-ton on there.
I think it's like a minimum of 5-ton. All right,
we're talking about a building that is a backyard shed kind of thing, mm-hmm. not very big, and it takes
a lot
to cool the transmitter here. Yeah. God bless you, air conditioner. Hope you're
doing that. That's right. Yeah, don't talk about it too much.
Yeah. Obviously the cooling is a thing. So, but you can't. Can you use regular air conditioning for this, or do you have to do these systems that are?
There's something called a crack unit, which is a.
Thought that was a people the Jaguar boys used to do jump out from MPD.
Yeah. Not that kind of crack. Let's see. Hold on. I'm sorry. I'm having to look that up because I can't remember.
But we don't have to have the specifics.
Anyway, I was going to get the acronym of crack.
You're such an engineer. You can't use a bunch of...
Computer room air conditioner. Oh, my gosh. It's the simple things sometimes, Sean.
Acronyms get you every time.
So, back in the day when there's mainframes, right? So a mainframe had one large unit. They typically maybe had a storage unit or a disk storage unit that attached to them somewhere. When servers weren't so dense, you had one unit that you were trying to cool. There was something called a crack unit that would sit in the center, and it's CRAC, so folks want to read about it. Not with a K. But so this unit would sit in the side of the room, and it was a big self-contained air unit, like a mini split.
Yeah, okay.
And it would shove cold air underneath the floor, and IBM equipment in particular, like mainframes and AS400s, would suck it up from the bottom, and you'd have these little vents in the floor, and the raised floor would have all the cables underneath it. You know, it's like your Yeah, exactly. I mean, there's been a
so okay, but in today's world, and we're about to go the break here. But we come back, we talk about like what they use to cool these
today. Yeah, it's completely changed.
All right, coming right back, more talking data centers, and you got questions. I got some on the text line. We'll get yours on there as well. 251-343-0106.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
At 12:35, FM Talk 106.5, Midday Mobile. Checking with my buddy David McCrary at LCM Motor Cars. Let's talk inventory of another sort here. I mean, we've got tons of trucks and cars, SUVs, all that on site, but you also got a lot of options when it comes to financing.
We do, and we've got some really good rates. I mean, these rates are in the low fives right now, you know, and some of these credit unions, if you've been a member of them for a while, are throwing out some rates even lower than that, just as a special. So don't ever forget, we've got financing for people in bankruptcy, people with bad credit, even people with horrible credit. We can help you. Just come see us.
Okay, and they can do that. Most fun is seeing you in person, but the website pretty interactive as well.
The website makes it easy for everybody. You can go on there and see all the cars, the pictures. We got our new pictures on there. That photo booth looks awesome. Carfax is there. You can fill out a credit app there or a customer statement and let us see what we can do for you. And take all the guesswork out of it before you even show up.
Okay, and that's lcmmotorcars.com?
That's correct.
All right, or see you in person where?
Highway 90 and Plantation in Theodore. It's 1 mile south of I-10, exit 15A. We're on the third red light corner. Or just give us a call, 251-375-0068.
Thanks, David.
Thank you, bud.
All right, there goes the man, David McCrary at LCM Motor Cars. Continue our conversation with my buddy John Hill from Ascension Technologies. The air conditioning, you know, idea here. This comes up to the water, closed loop, open loop, all that kind of stuff. So, okay, how about this? First, what are y'all doing at the one you build out in Montgomery? How they cool that?
Chill water loop.
Chilled so, water loop. So yep. Tell me how that. Give me like a rate. Don't engineer me, Hill. Give me. Okay. We're at my house. I just popped the Coors Light. You tell me
got
how
it
works.
Yeah, we got a fire and yeah.
Yes.
Okay. So the hot water. So there's units that sit next to the server rack because you want to get the cooling as close to those servers as possible, not through the floor.
Okay.
So you have like three server units. Then a rack cooler unit,
okay.
Three server units, a rack cooler, something to that effect. Water comes out of the chiller. So you got cold water that comes down in a chill water loop. The heat transfer happens, and that's mechanical engineer.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm not that smart. You know, the heat transfers from the ambient air.
It's osmosis. The heat, the hot goes to the cold.
Yep.
It goes away, and then it goes out.
And then you send it up, and you hit a plate frame, which is a huge radiator, basically, that takes as much heat out of the water as it can, and then okay. You have, you know, some of just the fact that, and again, I'm sure somebody out there would know this, the sheer operation of moving water or liquid through a pipe reduces some mm-hmm. of the heat output. So then it hits a massive screw chiller on the roof, and it chills the water, and then it sends the cold water back down
okay.
to the server or to the rack coolers.
And I'm probably going to get a text from my man Larry Skoda with LNS to tell me how
yeah,
it works.
That's know. Right. There, yeah, there's no water, and this is not just a significant data center. You don't open a spigot and pull water into that system. It is treated water. It rarely needs to be refilled. When it is refilled, there's a domestic water fill that
okay.
will happen. There's chemicals that get injected into this thing to keep the pipes healthy.
Okay.
You know, so it is. You do not want normal domestic water.
Okay. So they fill the thing up,
and then it's
doing this cooling thing. And only at some point in the maintenance schedule do you add more water to it
correct.
That's been lost over time with the.
Yep. And it okay. does happen. I mean, you do have to keep track of how much water is in your closed loop system, but But you do not want to introduce any water into that system that's not treated. And, okay. You know, because they just have to treat it, and otherwise the pipes will, you know. And there's a lot of fine pieces of equipment or, you know, devices. You know, when you get a chill water loop into one of those air conditioned lines, just kind of like, just like your air conditioner at your home, you know, that, mm-hmm. that loop that goes out to the unit that's mm-hmm. providing the, not, it's not Freon anymore. I'm sure there's FM2, whatever it is, whatever the new coolant fluid is that they use in those things, that loop is closed. So all the chiller, the radiator on the outside of your outdoor air condition, mm-hmm. I mean, if that's leaking, there's a problem, you know, you've got to, there's a problem. Got to replace it or whatever, because you don't, you know, it's closed loop.
Okay, so we don't, so we're not, okay, so that's the water issue. We've got the sound issue. By the way, let me ask a couple questions here from the text line. Jason says, does John think any part of Mobile County is better than any other for these centers, or does it matter? Is there any geography that lends itself to being?
Not really. You don't want it in a flood zone, that kind of stuff.
Right, I mean, sure.
But as far as like, to me, a data center is much less pollutant than any kind of manufacturing factory.
Well, that's what I'm trying to. I'm trying to parse this out, right? I'm trying to, and save the comment on social media where I like I'm in with these people. This is the dumbest stuff I've ever seen.
Well, I saw check.
There's the bag of cash out
that's
front.
That's right.
No, I'm just trying
to step over it when I walked in here.
I'm just doing regular folk stuff, trying to figure this out because we have heavy industry.
Sure.
I mean, I know that area around Calvert. I mean, we're in an area where we're making steel. We're making chemicals, you know? We're building. We're smelting aluminum. We're doing all these things. But this is the one, and I'm bound by the fact that I think it's because it doesn't bring the number of jobs, I'm air quoting here, that the others do, so people are upset.
Right.
You could say, hey, we're going to shoot radiation into the Tensaw River, but we're going to provide 6,000 jobs. Yeah. All the politicians, got jobs.
I agree. I can see that.
Maybe that's the issue. But other than, you know, the one thing I do worry about still is power and power rates. That's the one thing. But now we don't have an issue with noise. We don't have an issue with taking more from a utility that all these other I mean, y'all think about power consumption. What do you think they use it in that neighborhood? What do you think they use at ArcelorMittal, or TK, as people call it? I mean, there's a bunch of power going in there.
Oh, yeah. And a lot of that, what are they producing? What's the byproduct of the stuff they're producing, too? At a data center, you don't have any manufacturer going on, so you don't have any byproduct of anything. I mean, if it burned, you wouldn't want to probably smell, but you don't want to smell. I mean, you wouldn't
anything
want to
else
be.
Burned. Yeah. Let's not have them burn. But.
Yeah, but, you know, you wouldn't want to be close to any kind of plastic that's burning.
Okay,
can I add something about Amazon real quick?
Yeah.
So the Amazon distribution center over there, mm-hmm. I-60 or I-10.
I-10, yeah. McDonald Road.
We're close by that.
Okay.
One of our offices. So that thing came in quietly, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, nobody knew what it was. And then all of a sudden, you know, Amazon. I mean, to me, that thing has had more impact on that area and traffic.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's constant traffic now. It is really hard to get in and out of that area. To me, that's had more of an impact
than a data center.
Yeah, than a data center. Well, just because of the traffic and then, you know, noise and all that. And I just kind of wanted to use that as an analogous point that there's much worse things that I would live next to or would not want to live mm-hmm. next to than a data center, which is basically a dark warehouse with a bunch of computers in it.
Yeah. Let me go to some questions here. Yeah, people talking about the refrigeration. Jim B. says, how's the chiller work? What provides cooling? Is it an actual refrigeration loop? And Michael said, sounds basically like your truck. You know, do they add radiator fluid to the water like a 50-50 mix?
It's some sort of chemical. I mean, anybody that works
it's
for
a, radiator.
A mechanical
it's
engineer.
It's a radiator.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Okay. Yeah. Derek said, do any of the systems that John knows use Checkpoint for cybersecurity? And if so, how many? I don't even know what
that's
that is.
That's a loaded question. It's like an antivirus type AV,
okay,
anti-malware program. I've heard of Checkpoint. I don't, you know.
Because there's two things going on here. And, you know, Derek and I talked about this the other day on the show. There's people that are worried about what these AI centers are doing. I mean, what these data centers are doing. You know, what information they're collecting, why they're there. But that's going to happen anywhere. That's not a question about the actual physical building, you know? And this Beacon group here, you know, what...
You're talking about what they're doing inside of it?
Yeah, I think some of the pushback I'm hearing, they're talking about noise and water and all that, and I kind of dig down, and it ends up being, well, what are they doing with the information? Well, that's a whole nother debate. I mean, that's being done.
Just while we're talking, I was looking at Beacon Data Centers, who apparently is this group that's planning on building this one, and it looks like they do hyperscale computers. So that's AI type processing stuff. So what they'll do is they'll either build the facility, load it full of a bunch of compute power servers, and then lease that out to an AI company that needs processing power.
Yeah, so these people are the AI companies are building the AI, doing all that. They're just giving them a place to store. Yeah.
Correct.
Store and process, right?
Exactly. Yeah.
Squirrel Vereen, this said, would it be possible to have data center rigs offshore, like the gas rigs off Dauphin Island? Not that people wouldn't protest those, too. I don't know that anybody would want to put that stuff in the marine environment open to hurricanes. And you know.
Connectivity would be hard. Yeah. I mean, data centers require, like we talked about last time, an immense amount of bandwidth, especially AI stuff. You know, trying to get data in.
What's the accord? Like, okay, simple terms here. Is there what comes into the data center to bring the information out or have the information come? Is just all fiber? Is it the biggest bunch of fiber we've ever seen?
Lots of fiber optic cables, lots of different providers. There could be all kinds of ways.
And that has to be run. So, like, they have to have that amount of fiber you can't have a choke point. You can't do like they want to build the new bridge and have it go back on the same bayway. I would say if you had the big if you had a big bunch of fiber, it's got to go link into another big bunch of fiber to carry that data, right?
Absolutely.
Back to wherever they're sending. Yeah.
Yeah. And a lot of these data centers are all connected together. So, OpenAI or somebody like that would lease all kind of data centers.
Because, they don't care where they are.
No, they care. They care not. Yeah, it doesn't matter.
You got storage, I need you.
Yeah, in fact, you want to get them geographically diverse as possible.
That makes me, I thought about that early on, too. The ability to spread the risk of having an outage somewhere or something
AWS, Google, Microsoft, they all absolutely want to spread them out all over the place. Because, again, you could have a regional outage, you could have a hurricane, you could have power issues, and they could shift the load around to their other data centers to take up the slack, if some of them are down with minimum interruption.
David asking, says, I think we're in an AI data center bubble like the internet bubble of the 90s and the real estate bubble of the 2000s.
I agree completely.
You do?
Absolutely.
We're in bubble time. So
absolutely. No, I mean, and I joke around with you that, being in the technology business for so long, I have tattoos of all the acronyms that have come up over the years because they come and go, converged. I remember years ago when converged network, right? So that was what people call the Internet of Things, which is terrible.
Yes.
Anyway, so all that meant was that all these dispersed systems that used to talk by little serial cables, little 9-pin serial cables and all these PLCs, which are small little computer units that might turn a valve on and off, let's say. Mm-hmm. All those were using mechanical serialized connections. Now they're using IP, an internet protocol address. It doesn't mean it's on the internet. It just means that it has TCP/IP capabilities.
Yeah, they're using zeros and ones to tell it to turn on.
Exactly.
Turn off.
So all of these pieces have converged, like your TV. Mm-hmm. Your TV used to be, RF.
Yeah.
So all of those have converged on IP. On all these, sky's the limit. I mean, your toilet. I saw something the other day that, the toilet could monitor how much water usage it was.
I don't need that.
It's insane. But, back then it was called internet, converged network, and that's that was.
A bubble. You think they're overbuilding now? Because I tell you what, I want to run the break because I have another question here at the end about the space needed to do this.
Yes, sir.
Right. Coming right back. More John Hill right here on Midday Mobile.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, 1252, FM Talk 106.5, and glad you're here. 251-343-0106. Got a few more minutes with my buddy John Hill from Ascension Technologies. Question here, is the data center explosion an unintended byproduct of the rural high-speed internet push from a few years ago?
No, not at all.
Okay.
Yep.
I got a question here on the space needed and this idea about a bubble, too. I can read the words. I don't know if my brain can comprehend what it's just like quantum physics kind of messes with me. But quantum computing, what I've been told it can do, like where we are now versus quantum, something that might take our best technology now. It takes, I don't know, some equation or something takes it 5 months. Quantum computing does it in 5 seconds.
So you're
seconds.
Saying basically kind of like the old telephone system where you had racks and racks and copper and now it's nothing.
Right.
Right, yeah. So do more with less, I guess.
Yeah, so, I mean, will quantum computing, when that comes online, would that make a data center be smaller? Or?
Yeah, I think, if anything, what we've seen history tell us is, you know, you start out with a server that, you know, has different components in it. Those different components get modernized. You perhaps have a smaller footprint, smaller power footprint. So as history would have it, you know, things of...
It can do things faster at a smaller size?
Yeah. Yeah, use less energy to do processing. So hard disks... you know, I mean, you grew up, I'm sure, with mm-hmm. big floppy disks.
Oh, yeah.
And now we're to the solid state, which means there's no moving parts. It's just a piece of, it's a memory chip in there that's just storing the data instead of a spinning hard drive, right?
Mm-hmm.
And those have gone down to the size of, you know, your watch is mm-hmm. you know, 128 gigs. That used to take up a room.
Yeah.
So, you know, history has shown us, you know, you're storing much less than, you're able to do more with less. But yes, I could see in years, you know, data centers are, you know, one big monolithic unit sitting there in the middle of the floor instead of thousands of servers.
It could be that big of a change.
Because, I mean, think about mainframes.
Right. It's that big of a difference.
It's all gone. Yeah. I feel like we're
so we would take what would be the old. Yeah.
I mean.
But we're going to do that change again because we went the big mainframes and then we got better technology. It got smaller. Now we need more processing because AI, now these got big.
Yeah.
Quantum computing comes in that could shrink again.
Right. Instead of having a rack full of servers doing a particular job, I could see that changing to where you have something that takes all those racks, makes them obsolete, and does all that and more.
That's pretty incredible.
Power. Yeah, I mean, that's kind of the history of it all. I mean, you look at the, like I said, the mainframe used to have these dumb terminals, you know, little green screens out there that all talked back to the mainframe. That's where all your stuff was. All the processing was done at the mainframe, was not done at the computer. And we kind of spread that out.
Mm-hmm.
And now I kind of see us, we're, you know, everything's hosted, right? Your email, Gmail, Hotmail, mm-hmm. You know.
Did you say Hotmail?
Yeah,
is there still Rocket Mail?
Yeah.
You should
right. That's how old I am. But
I know Rocket Mail still exists because I won't give you his address because everybody asked me for it. But Bill Finch, my friend Bill Finch, still
really
on
Rocket. Still have a Rocket
it's a Rocket Mail address.
Every now and then I get an AOL.com and mm-hmm. I'm like, how? Like, yeah.
But I mean, that's if you could hold on to it, man.
Hey.
So the idea that we're building towards the footprint of these data centers right now, this is going to be the thing for a while. But eventually, it's going to go. It's going to go CD to MP3. I mean,
yeah.
When quantum comes in, the footprint will not need to be as big.
I guess. I mean, I if you look at how things have progressed over history, yes, mm-hmm. that is the case. Like, you know, will quantum computer need a reactor to power themselves that you'll need the data center space for? I mean, you know, I'm just making
right.
that up. But I that's something that we can only surmise about. These days, what that's going to turn into. But if history follows itself, which it's done pretty well
yeah.
over the years, you'll see that.
So, I mean,
however it'll, you know.
Whenever that happens. But in the meantime, just walking through this with you, I mean, I've read a bunch about it, but walking through it with you, I don't know what the fear is on these data centers. And I'm once again, I'm not, I didn't make my decision and try to prove it. I've walked through unknown. This, tried to educate myself and see.
Yeah. I think it's unknown. I think people don't understand IT stuff. I mean, I face that all the time where you go into somewhere. I mean, you've told me to shut up before.
Yeah.
I don't care how it works. Just work.
I don't know how to make steel. I know the kind of process and what they get, but I don't know how to make steel.
Exactly.
But the plant goes, right. I don't know how to make chemicals.
I don't know. I mean, maybe, yeah, right. I don't.
I don't know how to make Splenda, the magic they do in Macintosh, where they take sugar and then remove the sugar part of it.
Doesn't that have to do with salt domes? Cool.
Well, the salt domes up there for storing all kind of stuff. But, I don't know if that's why they're there. It's a chemical process they do to turn the sugar that comes in there into Splenda, which is pretty cool. They remove one molecule. I got a buddy who can tell you all about it. But and the only Splenda plant on planet Earth is in Macintosh.
Really? Mm-hmm. I had no idea.
But, I mean, all these things are going on, and we don't see – I don't know how – this is a bigger worry, I guess, and I'm truly asking this question. I think instead of just jumping to a conclusion, I'm trying to figure this out.
I agree. I don't know what the – I don't know what the driving fear is, because you use a computer every day. You sit with one on your lap, and these are just they're the same thing. They just have more of those components inside of a smaller space to get them into a rack. I just find people with IT stuff, there's some mysticism around it.
Mm-hmm.
And some people, you know, like yourself, I mean, you're curious about it and you want to learn. I was kidding about the shut up. But, you know, I encounter people like that are like, I don't really care. You know, don't talk to me about how it works. Just make it work.
Right.
And I think the majority of people fall into that, of that, you know, there's a lot of nerd stuff and, you know, it's painful. None of this stuff is exact science. You know, maybe that's the fear. It's just, I don't know, though. That's a good point.
Yeah.
I'll think about it and talk
to you. Yeah, we'll do it again.
It's odd. Yeah, I don't know.
And by the way, as we close, Brandon says, I still use my AL.com email.
Nice. So, good job. And Checkpoint, by the way, just real quick, is an AI. It's part of what Checkpoint does is use AI to analyze threats and stuff. Right. So, anyway.
All right. Thanks. See you soon.
All right.